A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 307. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about the cloning of Joanna May. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, two 90-minute episodes from the ITV channel, January 1992, and it's an adaptation of Faye Weldon's novel of the same name. And it's about a strange relationship between a very rich man and the sort of perverse revenge he seeks to take on his ex-wife, who he has a very sort of strange, tortured relationship with, as we'll get to. It's an interesting one, Brian.
Yes, that relationship, of course, is quite central to this show. And it, of course, had some contemporary issues and worries for the time with the implications of developments in human embryology and the possibility of human cloning being something that people thought was maybe not too far away.
Yes, strange to look back at it from, the distance of sort of like 26 years later or so. But yeah, at the time, it seemed like a pressing concern.
Yes, that's right. So the setup for this, Carl May is this wealthy industrialist who is pushing ahead with the development of a new nuclear power plant. And, always pushing big new projects. And he also has a project which is connected to this tormented relationship with his ex-wife. And we get to see more of that.
Yes. And there's Carl May doing what he's doing, both in business and in his sort of like secret life. But there's also Joanna May, who is having her husband followed by a private detective. And in doing so, she will learn some of the secrets and exactly what happened to her when she thought she was having a pregnancy terminated as a younger woman. Obviously, you can probably guess from the title of this show what was going on. But anyway, she finds out some of the secrets through her private detective and events as the story unfolds. So getting into our characters for this show, we've mentioned already Carl May, played by the always impressive Brian Cox. Carl May is the self-made man, the multimillionaire who survived an abused childhood, which we see in flashbacks, and then risen to power. And strangely, he is still, despite all the trappings of power and wealth, he is still besotted with Joanna May, with the one true love of his life, this woman that he worshipped. And that's sort of, as I say, that relationship is really central to this story.
Yes, that's right. And he is a character who is clearly prone to being obsessed with things quite a bit. Not the most stable of individuals.
Yes, that's true.
Joanna May, played by Patricia Hodge, his beautiful ex-wife, now living in a country house and having an affair with her gardener, played by a young James Purefoy. And it's her connection and neither of them letting go of the past that sort of builds the foundation for this story.
Yes, and I mentioned that she's been having Carl May apparently followed for at least 10 years. And there's a very interesting actress playing the private detective. The character's name is Mavis, and it's played by Billy Whitelaw, who you may remember from the film The Omen. I'm interested in her because, of course, she was the muse to the playwright Samuel Beckett. She plays this sort of trilby-wearing private detective who drives around in her green 2CV car. Second time in recent months we've had, I think, that car featuring on the show. Following Carl May, photographing him, finding out more about what he's up to, but also finding him in, shall we say, in flagrante delicto at time to time, Brian. So getting some compromising photos of him as well.
Yes, and she, particularly her look, is about the epitome of an early 90s female private detective. If you imagine such a character, this is probably what you're thinking of. It's really sort of what you would expect for that.
Yes, trench coat and trilby.
Bethany is Carl's young mistress and PR expert, played by Siri Neal, who we saw in Moondial when she was a number of years younger. And we also know her from some appearances in the Big Finish Audios. And at first, Bethany is sort of presented as this young sort of bimbo, you know, not very bright and sort of more in the in Carl's employ and as his mistress because of her looks, and sort of seems to be on the show because of her looks. And as the story progresses, we learn that she's actually not quite that and is smarter and doing more behind the scenes and doing more than we expected. So she actually turns out to be kind of an interesting character.
Yes, from her first appearance, you don't think she's going to be. In fact, you think she's probably going to be in it for that one scene of Carl May arriving at his offices in front of the press and all the photographers. But yeah, she goes on to actually be quite interesting. But as you say, Brian, we do see rather a lot of her, and we probably should give this like content warning that there is partial nudity in this show. So there is scenes of Bethany in the bath quite a lot, it seemed.
Yes, that's right. A little bit odd, but as I say, they do some interesting things with her over the course of the show, which was nice.
Then we've got the clones themselves. I don't think we're giving too much away to say that there have been clones made of Joanna May. And so we have Jane, played by Emma Hardy, Alice, played by Helen Adie, and Gina, played by Laura Eddy. So they've cast three similar-looking red-headed actresses as the clones of the Patricia Hodge character, Joanna May, who will be introduced in the sort of the middle and final sections of this story.
Yes, as the story progresses, they become very important in it, of course. We do have quite an impressive cast in this production. In addition to the characters we've mentioned, people like Oliver Ford Davis and Gene Botch show up. Ian McNeice plays the doctor who is doing this cloning, and one of the doctors from Doctor Who shows up too.
Yeah, it's a great all-round cast. Some, you know, now very familiar names, quite young in there and early on in their careers. And yeah, keep your eyes out for one of the doctors who's going to pop up again in a moment.
So we learn more about this sort of troubled backstory of Carl and Joanna May, his truly terrible childhood, and how he sort of falls for Joanna and seemingly sort of worships her and has this very intense relationship in those early days.
Yes, his first and probably only true love. And it's interesting because she also is as smitten with him as he is with her. In a way, it's sort of like quite sad that they this couple have drifted so far apart. And of course, what happened was rather unexpectedly, she ended up having an affair with a young Egyptologist who she was sort of, I don't know, studying with. A chap called Isaac, played by a young Peter Capaldi. So here is another of the canonical doctors turning up in another show, although we have had him before, Brian, so we can't tick another name off your list, because he did appear as the Angel Islington in Neverwhere, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
But he doesn't stay in this particular show for very long, because Carl May is not the sort of man to tolerate his wife having an affair, and so basically he has Isaac bumped off. In fact, as we learned throughout this show, having a relationship with Joanna May is a very bad idea, which leads, you know, it will shorten your lifespan, I think we can say, Brian.
Yes, Carl May does not seem to have any issues with having people killed. That does seem to happen in this.
And of course, we're leading up to the sort of plot reveal, which is given away in the title of the piece, which was that when Joanna May was a younger woman and thought she was pregnant and thought she was having a termination because she and Carl had this pact that they would not have any children because of his own terrible childhood, However, she wasn't actually pregnant, and during the procedure, the doctor, played by, as we've said, Ian McNeice, Churchill from the Doctor Who stories on telly, Ian McNeice's character took samples, somehow created the clone embryos, and implanted them in four infertile women's wombs. One of them miscarried, but of course the other three, as we've learned, went on to have children, and they are now fully grown adults.
Yes, we get sort of two explanations of the cloning itself from the Ian McNeice character. The first one, when he's talking to Joanna May and says something to the effect that it was cloning but not really cloning, and they're close but not identical, which seemed a little odd to me, and I guess was there to explain the fact that they had different actresses playing these different clones, and they are clearly not identical. There is a later explanation when he's talking to the clones themselves and describes the process of cloning. And that one I thought was quite good and sort of fits with how cloning can be done.
Yes, there's a little bit of scientific hand-waving by the doctor to explain why the three young women look similar but not identical. So yes, that obviously they had something they had to do for the screen version. Unless they'd made the decision to cast one actress and have her play three different roles, I suppose, Brian.
Yes, or even four.
Yes.
But yeah, that's how they set things up in here. So let's get on to our production notes. The original novel, The Cloning of Joanna May, was written by Faye Weldon, a prolific English author who began writing for TV and radio all the way back in 1963, wrote the first episode of Upstairs Downstairs in 1971, and possibly most famous for the 1986 adaptation of her 1983 novel, The Lives and Loves of a She-Devil.
Are you familiar with Upstairs Downstairs over in Canada?
It is certainly well known here, in that it was broadcast on PBS in the US, which made it to cable here. So it certainly is something people know about. It's not as widely watched as it is in the UK.
Right. Okay. It's interesting. It's one of those questions that crops up on quizzes from time to time, is which novelist wrote the first episode. And I think she also, although she didn't originate the phrase "go to work on an egg," I think she, when she worked in advertising, she was responsible for popularizing that phrase as well. But here she is. So she's had this huge hit on television in 1986 with The Lives and Loves of a She-Devil, which introduced us to the actor Julie T. Wallace, who would then go on to make an appearance in a Bond film as a sort of Bond girl, I suppose, Brian, because she's briefly in the opening sequence of The Living Daylights, which I guess you've probably already recorded for your third season of Hooked on Bond, I should imagine.
Yes, we have recorded that, but it has yet to be released.
Stay tuned to Hooked on Bond for The Living Daylights. So that award-winning series had been adapted by the writer Ted Whitehead and directed by Philip Saville. And of course, that's the same team who will go on to do The Cloning of Joanna May. So, you know, there's some familiar names. And of course, Ted Whitehead, we've come across before on this podcast, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And that was also related to reproductive technology. That was with Firstborn from the 80s.
Yes, that Charles Dance series that we discussed previously. And of course, you know, at this time, I suppose it was difficult for writers not to be interested in the implications of reproductive technology, as you say, Brian, human embryology and the potentials for cloning. And so she published the novel The Cloning of Joanna May in 1989, and I'm pretty sure it was picked up by ITV and the same team fairly quickly, no doubt looking to repeat the success of She-Devil.
You would think it would have been fairly quick from a 1989 publication to a 1992 broadcast. You would think that would be a fairly quick turnaround.
Yeah, I think so. As I say, they probably knew, you know, they've done it once with Faye Weldon. let's do it again.
The series was produced by Gub Neal and Patricia Hodge, who had played the other woman in She-Devil and was cast as Joanna May. And they needed a charismatic actor for Carl May, who could play this sort of intense and I'll say not particularly likable character. And they turned to Brian Cox.
Yes, and Brian Cox doing a slightly posh English accent, although you do get the impression from his past that that's also something he's self-made to escape his terrible childhood as he's risen through, you know, business and industry up to power and wealth. We should mention that there's a number of differences between the book and the TV series, which we'll touch on very briefly in our next episode. In particular about the number of clones and so on, but we will get back to that.
Yes, indeed. The cloning of Joanna May was broadcast on ITV on Sunday, January 25th, and the second half on Sunday, February 1st of 1992, both in 9 o'clock in the evening time slots.
So a big Sunday night drama for ITV after the watershed of 9 p.m. So, you know, that can allow them to have some of the adult themes, particularly about sex and nudity that are included in this show. Sadly, didn't go on to get the same acclaim as Lives and Loves of a She-Devil. Didn't win the awards and perhaps the critical following that that programme did. But here we are talking about it, and we'll go on to talk about how you can watch it yourself.
Yes, I think that must have been a pretty coveted time slot to get for a show with adult content, to get it in at 9 o'clock on the weekend.
Yeah, I think so. A big slot for this show. Obviously, they had high hopes for it. So, over here in Region 2, should you want to watch The Cloning of Joanna May, it again is, as always, nearly always, very easy to get hold of, thanks as ever to the people at Network DVD who put out all these old shows for us. So this one is a pretty straightforward Network DVD release. No extras, just the two 90-minute episodes. And it comes in at the moment at about £6.50, you can find it. And I can't find it on any of the streaming sites here in the UK. In Region 1, Brian?
In Region 1, there is no current release. We see the Region 2 release being sold on Amazon.com for about $8 US. And we did see a Region 1 release floating around that appears to be out of print and selling for about $60 on Amazon.ca. So if you really hunt for it, you might find an old Region 1 release floating around somewhere. But the easiest and almost certainly least expensive way is to get a hold of that Region 2 release, and hopefully you can find some way of playing Region 2 discs.
Okay, and we don't think it's available on any streaming sites at the moment, Brian.
I haven't seen it available in streaming now.
Okay.
The original novel, of course, is available. I haven't had the chance to read it, but that is available.
Yes, as ever, we are behind with our reading, but we're keeping up just about with our watching, Brian.
Yes, indeed. So next time on British Invaders, we will talk a little bit more about how the clones were portrayed in this series, The Cloning of Joanna May, and some of the strange twists and turns that the story takes. And we'll talk about the obsession with sort of embryological technology and so on that comes up in these 80s and 90s shows from time to time.
Yes, it was clearly a theme at the time, which we'll come back to. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about the differences from the book that we're aware of. And of course, we'll get to our own thoughts about this particular show, give you our recommendations. So plenty to talk about when we come back.
And until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, where we have all of our past episodes available. Over 300 of them. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our group there as well.
Absolutely. And also, you can find us on the Voice of Geeks Network, which British Invaders is a proud member of, at vognetwork.com. Come along and join in the fun there.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also, signing off.